So when do you think you'll be tempted? Today? Well, then today is a good day for you. A while ago, I was in a camp called Almond, and I was counseling a woman, and she was describing how horrible life is, how hopeless everything is. And after listening to her about half an hour, I said, "Congratulations, you're having spiritual temptation." And she was, "What?" Well, then we talked two more hours. And after that, she kind of went back smiling. I didn't actually cure anything there. I just let her realize what was actually happening. But temptation, I believe, is something that we hear, read, watch a lot, in a way that is not exactly spiritual. A lot of times when we say temptation, it could mean just a matter of a choice. Okay? Like, you can buy this one, but that's too expensive. So, you have to buy this one, which is affordable. But somehow you want to buy that one. So you call it a temptation. But is it really temptation? No, it's a matter of choice. And every choice brings consequences. Temptation, according to Jesus and the Bible, and especially Swedenborg, it is not about matter of a choice. Temptation only happens when you want to be really good. And you know the way to be good. And you are willing even to do it. Then you find yourself resisting against it. And keep failing to live the life that you want to live. Because you know it's right. Then you struggle. Why? It's so awful that you know it's right. You want to live that life. But you're not doing it. Why? Because you don't like it. Isn't that somewhat interesting? We could perceive something to be right. We understand that is actually a better way of doing it. Yet, we don't want to do it. Why? Because our brain could go probably 10 steps ahead of our heart. So that when you digest all those things by your brain, and telling your heart, "Okay, come over here, this is the better place." And your heart says, "No, I like it here. It's comfortable. No changes." Then what happens is a big battle. You're not really fighting in this battle. The Lord is fighting against the evil that we have. But what we do is we initiate saying that, "My heart, please come over here. This is a better place." You know what that means? That means is the way we are here is not good enough. Or sometimes bad. But a lot of times, many times, we refuse to be tempted. We don't like it. And actually, we shouldn't like it, probably. The symptoms of spiritual temptation, the ways the Swedenborg describes, first thing is despair. Despair, you are going into a full disappointment about yourself. And to the point, your whole heart feels like it's totally according to him, devastated, like wilderness, where there's no light, no life, and no water. That's how you will feel. That's why somehow Elijah had to walk in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus was in the wilderness again for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, in the temptation, if you ever feel like that, again, that's like first two symptoms. Next comes hopelessness. Next comes self. You feel very bad about yourself. In all this period, we do not have power to fight against the force of evil. Who is fighting for us? The Lord. And somehow that's why even Jesus in his temptation quotes the word. Did you notice that? Jesus, God incarnate, with all the power, did not say to the devil that, "Go away, I'm more powerful than you are." Somehow, he always quotes the word. Nothing more, nothing less. What does that mean? When you are in temptation, the truth from God is your only help. Why? Well, told you. The temptation at the bottom is about fighting against yourself. Anything that we say could be manipulated by our own brain to justify the other side. Why? Again, we're fighting against ourselves. The self probably that knows better about myself than I know. Like using Jung, for example, in this case, you're fighting against your unconscious side. You'll never win. Right? Because unconscious side actually is bigger and deeper. And our conscious mind is, well, often shallow. So the power that we can bring into this situation is the Word of God. And that's what Jesus is showing in his temptations. And three temptations he went through. And these are three temptations, probably three most essential and fundamental temptations that any human being could go through. First is about kind of asking, can you make this stone to be bread? Now the question is, could Jesus have done it? Yes, right? He had power to do it. That's the problem. If it's something that he could not do at all, it's not a temptation. He could have done it, but it's not right to do it. Or at least not right to do it like that. And it's not about stone, making stone into bread. It's a more fundamental issue. It's about life. What is the source of your life? Or even deeper, what is your real life? Is it your body or is it your spirit? What devil is asking is tempting Jesus to see life of body as the real life, only life, and somehow deny life of the spirit. That's why Jesus is quoting this saying, what? Man shall not live by bread alone. Well, next comes somewhat power, glory, possession. I'll give you all the kingdoms in the world if you worship me. Whenever I read that I kind of remember the movie I saw, Devil's Advocate, long time ago. Whispers that if you follow this way, you'll have it. You'll have whatever you want. You just turn your conscience like slightly this way. Slightly. Not a lot, right? Just 1 degree to this way, and you'll have everything you want. But if you know somehow physics, if you turn like 1 degree here, at the end, what happens? You go infinitely different way. You'll never come back to your original place. And the third one is sometimes, if you read third one, you may puzzle. Why is it really temptation? And third one, devil quotes the Bible, the word. You know what that means? Jesus was quoting the word to defend himself or to protect himself. Now devil is quoting or using the defense that Jesus was using. In other words, the third temptation we may, as a human, we may not ever get. But this is the deepest temptation that actually challenges the core of what you really are. Because devil was quoting Psalm 91. If you read Psalm 91, that's exactly how it is written. And Jesus' answer is quite interestingly, you do not put your Lord God test. Why? Can you really test God? Have you ever tried it? Actually, I did. Did it work? Not really. I mean, yes, we try. I mean, haven't you ever done like prayer like, God, you just do this and I will do this? In a way, that's a test. Usually we don't realize it, and it's not that serious either. But because in the Old Testament, Gideon has done that too, like with the sponge. Okay, today, God, make the dew on every place but on this sponge. It happened. And the next day, okay, one more time. How about today only on the sponge? Well, yes, it happened too. So, when Jesus was saying, you don't test God, it's not about trying to believe God. We do a lot of things, ask a lot of things to God to do for us. And most likely, what we're crying out is, God, I want to be sure you really are there. And you really love me. Make me to believe. That's kind of what we're saying. But in here, it's a different thing. In here, testing God is not about God make me to believe. In here, testing God actually means somehow making God to disappear. Making God to somehow not exist. Think about it. If there is a force of hell that wants to convince us, what would be that voice? The first thing is, yes, you don't have anything but your body and life in this world. That's it. So have fun with it. Why? When you die, you become nothing. That's quite strong. And a lot of times I believe that's what we struggle temptation of Jesus actually goes way beyond our understanding. And I have to be honest that I do not comprehend it all either. But these three essential temptations are somehow shown as examples. But what we can gather, okay, what we can gather about temptation is somehow it's for good of our spirit. And God is not trying to make you struggle. Or God is not giving this, or God is not allowing it happen to cause us a pain. Actually, it's opposite of that. By going through a temptation, you become lighter. You become more joyful. You become closer to God. Somehow you become more confident about yourself, more positive. Why? Because you are becoming, you're gaining purified good. Before, you know without certainty. After, you know with certainty. Last week, I said even faith could be a matter of choice. It's only initiations. The real faith that makes you to live is from God. But you have to choose. You have to make the choice to at least open the door. Think about it. This book was given to us 2,000 years ago. Inspired so many people. Changed lives of millions and billions. But we haven't made Earth heaven yet. Why not? Each individual, each one of you has to begin from the beginning. And have to make your way from the beginning. And step by step. And life of Jesus Christ shows us the map. To follow step by step. First was the baptism. And next was the temptation. Then the life of a spiritual journey begins. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.